Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Punt and Pass podcast. I'm your host, Drew Butler, joined alongside by my co-host, Jake Fromm. Be sure to follow us on social media. We are at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. I'm at Drew Butler. He's at Fromm Jake. Be sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/Punt and Pass, puntandpass.com, the number one destination for all things college football. Another week of the offseason. Happy Memorial Day weekend to everybody out there. We're recording this on Monday evening. Yes, it is Memorial Day. Hope everybody enjoyed the holiday festivities. We're 1 week closer to college football season. There's a lot going on in the world of sports right now, Jake. Obviously, the NBA and the NHL playoffs are going on. We got some big-time storylines to touch on around what's going on in college football. A pretty big week happening down on the Florida Panhandle with SEC spring meetings, so we'll get into that. But first things first, and most importantly, the real meaning of Memorial Day, which I think is not lost on our audience. Very, very thankful for everybody who served the ultimate sacrifice to keep us the freest and greatest country in the entire world, that being the United States of America. Jake, I know you and I both have a lot of family and friends who served this great country. I'm forever grateful for them. I do not forget the meaning of what Memorial Day is all about. So cannot stress that enough. And happy Memorial Day, my man.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day to you as well, Drew. Thanks for hitting the nail on the head on that one. And then kind of getting into Memorial Day, all the things that go on today. A lot of folks at the beach, a lot of folks are traveling, having a good time at the pool. A lot of folks out there got the Murph challenge in today. I was one of them, so I joined. Coach Sinclair over there in his neighborhood. Awesome. Knocked it out. So there was, I don't know, maybe 15 or 20 of us.
Wow.
Did you do it with
a weighted vest?
No weighted vest. So okay. This was actually my first Murph challenge ever that I've ever done. So this is the first one for me. I didn't have a weight vest.
Explain it to the listeners.
So the Murph challenge is a mile. Start off with a mile and you finish with a mile. Okay. In between the 2 miles, you have 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 air squats.
However you can get them.
Sounds really simple. You can take all day if you want to, but okay. I mean, the challenge is to see how quickly you can get this done. You're like really trying to push yourself here. So started off with the mile. Got that done in a 7:15-ish pace, which is pretty good for me. Now I'm just telling you right now, I am not a long distance runner. I was scared to death about the running part of this, the volume as well. But everybody always says the push-ups are kind of the hardest thing that gets people.
200 push-ups.
Sorry, I misspoke. The pull-ups.
Pull-ups.
The
pull-ups. 100 pull-ups.
100 pull-ups. The pull-ups is usually what everyone here, you know, kind of that I talk to. The pull-ups just kind of get people. The pull-ups were not an issue for your boy. Man, I was kind of crushing the pull-ups. Push-ups were pretty easy as well. So I did 20 rounds of 5, 10, 15 is what I did.
20 rounds?
Yep.
How long did that take you?
So I did it in 39:12. I'm pretty proud of it too.
The 20 rounds or including the miles?
The whole Murph, 39:12.
Oh my God, that is so highly impressive.
So the first mile was, let's just say 7:15, about the time you kind of gather your bearings and get started. And then the last mile, now the last mile was like 10 minutes long.
That's fine. Like you got to be just gassed by that point.
Oh,
right?
you're gutting it out. Like we were kind of like you do like some laps around the cul-de-sac in the street, and it was marked out pretty good. One of the guys had gone out and run a run before and had it all marked out, so it was pretty legit. I even onexed it. If you're a hunter out there, you know what onex is. I even onexed the track, and it was pretty spot on. At like you know, anywhere between 0.98 to 1.05.
Yeah.
On the mile deal, so. Pretty spot on.
Were you the first out of your group? Were you? I mean, that had to be the best out of the entire group, right?
Dude, I was second.
please, let's give the flowers to who beat you.
So that's highly impressive. So Scott, he works over here, Piedmont and Athens. He's a doctor over there. Absolutely crushed it. So he's like
a some peptides. We got to get him.
He's like
a Rucker. Get him a PED check,
dude. He's a Rucker. He's a lot. So this, I mean, this is the volume and the running. I mean, it's going to kind of benefit the skinnier guys and sure. the long distance cardio guys, which I am not one of those at all. I think I had the gut factor in me a little bit, and I can knock out some pushups and some pullups pretty good. And he had a weighted vest. So he's
highly impressive.
So he had he's 5'10", 165 soaking wet. He did have the 20-pound weight vest on, and he still finished like 2-3 minutes before I did.
So he's obviously very, very in shape, right? 5'10", 160 pounds, throws the weight vest on. He must have just cruised through that first mile. Pull-ups for guys like him. I'm not taking anything away from Scott. Shout out to Scott. But he can just bang out those pull-ups, no question about it. Push-ups and then air squats or sit-ups and then air squats, right?
No sit-ups, just air squats. Okay. Yep.
So it's pull-ups, air squats.
So I would do 5 pull-ups, knock out 10 push-ups, knock out 15 air squats, and just keep rolling. So we did this on the playground there in his neighborhood. So the pull-up deal, I couldn't. I was too tall basically for the pull-ups.
Yeah.
And so like I actually had to do them strict because I would hit the ground if I tried to do the CrossFit pull-up. So I actually had to do the pull-ups legit.
That's highly impressive. And the way I follow up to you is after completing the Murph in 39 minutes, I'd like to play golf against you tomorrow, and I'd like to start it at whatever price you'd like because you are going to be spent tomorrow.
So I did that this morning, and then my granddad came over to the house. So we're working on like waterproofing the underside of my back porch. And it was kind of hot today as well, hot and muggy. We had some 2x8s, 12s that were pressure treated. I kid you not. I mean, they had to be 40, 50, 60 pounds. And so we got after today. But my body is spent. I'm glad my mind, I think, is doing as good as it's doing right now. Talking, I'm getting words out. I think they make sense. But I'm pretty spent right now. So
well, let's say first off, congratulations. Merck Challenge is legendary. I think it was a Special Forces Marine or Army Ranger or Navy SEAL. What's his name? Murphy. I forget his first name. Mike Murphy got popularized probably over the last decade or so. It is a Memorial Day tradition to honor him, to honor all of our troops. Everybody does the Murph. I think it's pretty popular among
Mike Murphy. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's pretty popular among our service members as well.
It's a good way awarded the Medal of Honor for his actions during Operation Red Wings in Afghanistan 05.
Yes. So it's a big time deal, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of everybody. Scott Sinclair, by the way, who put this on, is Georgia football's head strength and conditioning coach as well. So very cool that you got to do that. Shout out to Scott.
Shout out to you, Sinclair.
Okay, good. Well, you know, he's busy. He's a busy guy. He's a little bit older.
He had a bad hip. He said, like, hey, guys, my hip, like, my running's going to suck, but I can knock out some push-ups and some pull-ups. So
good for him.
And he did. So the only thing for me moving forward on this, I'm thinking, you know, July 4th, maybe knock out another one, is do I go weighted vest or do I try to knock down on my time and then try a different round? So I'm thinking next time – to do like 7 to 10 pull-ups, 15 to 20 push-ups, and then like 30 air squats per set.
I got a good one for you that you just made me think of one. So all three of my daughters were born at what used to be Gwinnett Medical, but now it's Northside Gwinnett. Our nurse for I think 2 or 3 of our pregnancies, her name is Bryn. She actually has a podcast of her own, huge Georgia fan, longtime listener of Punt and Pass. Okay. Nice. She really is. She's awesome. So Bryn's become a friend of ours. She helped deliver all three of our daughters. And her husband is a firefighter. Jake, her husband did the Murph 365 days in a row with a weighted vest.
What?
Yes. How impressive is that? Wow. That was a couple of years ago. It might have been like during COVID or out of COVID. He did it, I'm almost certain, for 365 days in a row. I was like, okay, Bryn. That is insane. So it's a real thing and it's tough. So to do that day after day, and she said, she, you know, some days he would take the 24 hours, but he did it every day. That's impressive.
That's pretty, dude, that's pretty solid. That's pretty good. I mean, you could take your time, you know, in a fit person and knock it out probably more, a lot more comfortably in an hour 15. But yeah, man, when you got 15 other dudes there and you're trying to go as fast as you can. So
yeah, there you go.
Pretty proud of it. My brothers, the first time they did it, they were like at 41, 43. And then they tried to say, as soon as I called them, you know, afterwards, you know, cause I'm so glad I get to talk about this on the podcast. Cause I've been wanting to talk about this all day. So called my brothers, called my high school football coach. You know, my wife wanted to talk about it. I'm like, heck yeah, dude, I want to talk about this, man. I feel awesome.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Happy Memorial Day. And it is an important day for sure. So again, thank you so much to all of our servicemen and women out there.
Drew, did you work out today?
I did not work out today. I did not work out today. So
how many workouts do you get in a week?
3 to 4. I'm a Peloton guy. I got kettlebells downstairs. Jackie, actually, for my birthday a couple weeks ago, she redid our workout room. So we got the we got the workout flooring down in our basement workout room. And I'm good for 3 to 4 Peloton workouts a week. You can follow me at Drew Butler. And then I get a bunch of kettlebells in as well. We got a sauna at the house. That was a late anniversary gift for Jackie. Yeah. So I've been hitting the sauna. That's kind of my regimen. I don't like to get into situations where I could get hurt. And that's really kind of where I've kept it at, to just maintain whatever it is that I have here.
That's pretty good. I tell you, I'm in a big kettlebell phase right now. So I ordered like a ton of Rogue kettlebells. Yeah. I got anywhere from 26 pounds all the way up to 88.
So I'll do, I have an 80 pound kettlebell that I do a lot of kettlebell swings. And then I've got like 35s and 30s and 25s that I'll do some other stuff with, but anything to just maintain. I'm not trying to break any records now. I have not put weight on my back in probably 10 years. I mean, I've not done a squat in 10 years. I'll do kettlebell squats, but I just no chance. I don't do a lot of stuff over my head as well. Like maybe some kettlebell presses, but that's about the extent of what I do. So, you know, pool body is okay. It's a respectable, you know, quote unquote dad bod. I mean, I think, I think you've seen me. I mean, I'm not out of shape.
No. Not at all. Drew is in shape.
I'm 37, man. I just turned 37. I'm feeling old. I just did Function Health. So I got like a full blood panel to,
I want to do the blood deal. So I had a very, very high-end blood test thing diagnosis when I was in Washington with the Redskins Commanders. Dude, I thought it was really cool. It said my testosterone was a lot lower than I was expecting. I think that's just kind of very common throughout young people today. But I don't know. Like, I feel great. All the physical markers for testosterone, I guess, are there. So I'm a little interested on that one, but I'd love to do it again.
Yeah, you should do it. Have you ever done? I mean, we're getting way off topic, but it's good stuff. Have you done the NFL's brain and body assessment? Have you done that? You should absolutely do it. So through the NFL Players Association, every 5 years, mine comes up again next October. So not this upcoming October, but
so call 5 years months. After you're done.
No, playing. You can do it now. They will fly you down to the Cleveland Clinic in Florida or wherever you want to go. You're going to meet with the top doctors. It's like a 48-hour deal to where from your hair follicles to your toenails, they test everything, your eyesight, your hearing, full brain scans, full everything's paid for. They fly you down there. You can bring Caroline. You can make a little vacation out of it. It is a must.
You're the only person I've ever heard of this from.
Yeah. You can do it every 5 years. So I'm going to do mine again next year. But you know, when I did my Function Health, I took my blood panels and I busted out the binder that they sent me with from October of 2023 or 2022. And, I went through and kind of, compared them, and now I'm going to go follow up with my general practitioner, but it is a big time benefit that you absolutely have to take care of. I'll send you the details.
Please, dude, please do. I'm so interested in that. I'm kind of a a health nut, so I like that stuff.
It's the year of healthy guys, the healthy punt and pass year for sure. And if, hey, Jake said he's good, he's in a good mental state, you sound good, but you look even better if you're watching on YouTube or on Atlanta News First or Peachtree Sports Network. You see Jake Fromm's got a new camera here, so we are in ultra high def.
Just came in Amazon today. That's why I was a little late to the pod this afternoon. Got that thing plugged in, man. Let me tell you, game changer. I was tired of getting text and pictures from buddies all over the place. Hey, you know, you're on, you know, ANF TV, you're here, you're there. And I just looked like crap. Couldn't stand it.
You look great now. You look great now. That. So all good.
I didn't want to be, I couldn't be Casper anymore. I needed a little, when we got back from the beach. So, you know, kind of a little tanned up. Look, I like self-confidence right now. Let me tell you, is through
the roof. Sky high.
A little tan, a better camera. You can't tell me nothing right now.
I love it. All right, before we get into the college football stuff, huge shout out to Georgia baseball SEC champions for the first time in program history. They walloped through the SEC tournament in Hoover. A great comeback victory. They were down 6-0 to Florida in the semifinal game. They come back and win it 8-7. Then they trounced Arkansas in the championship game. So they will be hosting a regional in Athens this upcoming weekend. And I tell you what, they right now are the third-ranked team in the nation. Georgia Tech is the second-ranked team in the nation. Georgia Tech won the ACC championship. There is a chance Tech and Georgia,
there is a good chance,
could face off in the College World Series.
Dude, that would be so cool. Big shout-out to Georgia baseball. It's really cool. They won, you know, the regular season title that they got awarded, and then they won the tournament title as well, which is, just really tough to do. I mean, you got to get hot at the right time. You got to beat teams. And, man, they came back, and they beat Florida down, I think, 4-0. Was it 7-0?
They were down 6-0.
Yeah, 6-0, so. They were down pretty good, and man, came back and won. So, big shout out to this baseball team, man. They just find a way to get it done, and it's gonna be fun to watching them. And hopefully, they do playoff baseball, especially getting to host regional or super regional there at Foley Field in that atmosphere. It's just so cool, man. That was actually some of my favorite memories from being in college, was watching the Dogs play playoff baseball. Obviously, my roommate Tony, you know, he's out there pitching. So, like, it was, you know, even more. I mean, it was super real, super fun, and. Man, there's nothing like it. I enjoy it.
So based on Georgia being the third ranked team in the nation, if they get through the regional, they'll host a super regional as well, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. So that's already baked in.
I mean, they got to win the one they're in first, but yeah, being the number three team. Yeah, for sure.
That's going to be awesome.
That's what happened to Tony's team. When we were in college. They won the first regional and then they lost the super regional, I think, to Florida State. If my memory serves me right. But yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean,
it is tough
because, like, tournament playoff baseball, you know, teams can get hot. And that's kind of what it's about. So, you know, cause you see it in Major League Baseball all the time, the team, you know, that ended up winning 110, 115 games that season usually doesn't always win the World Series because you just got to get hot at the right time. And this is kind of getting the conspiracy of the Major League Baseball and how it's set up. But a lot of times the teams that get that kind of bye weekend break usually don't play that well because baseball is like a daily sport grind. They get so ingrained in the routine that once they get off of it a little bit, you lose a little bit of your juice. So.
No, man, you're exactly right. So exciting times in Athens. Congrats again to the Georgia baseball team. Regionals coming up this weekend in Athens, and they got a really good draw. It's like Boston College, Liberty, and another team that's skipping my mind right now, but they got a good draw. So hopefully the Dogs get through that and they can host that super regional. So exciting times in Athens. Shout out to our boy, Jeff Dantzler. He was on the call all weekend, him and Dave Johnston. So happy for everybody. Now, the real work starts.
Hey, speaking of Georgia baseball, did we mention last week on the podcast that Georgia basketball just got like their biggest
donation ever? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you I mean, you know a lot more about it than I do, so I'd love for you to talk about it.
Shout out to Adam Wexler. Adam Wexler, the founder of Prize Picks. Prize Picks, obviously a huge supporter of the Punt and Pass podcast. We were their first ever podcast partner 10 years ago. I think actually 8 years ago, Prize Picks jumped in to become the first ever sponsor of Punt and Pass. Adam Wexler, made a $10 million donation specifically to Georgia basketball himself. Adam is a great dog. He graduated from Georgia, obviously founded Prize Picks, sold, I think, 50%+ of it just this past year. So he obviously had a big windfall. He loves basketball. That is like his first.
Yeah, well, that was my follow-up question. Yes. Was why do you think he chose 100% basketball? Because yeah. I'm sure Kirby and Josh Brooks. Yeah. Well, Josh Brooks is like, yeah, that's great. But also, what about football, who helps pay all our bills?
Yeah. I mean, I'm speaking out of school here because I haven't talked to Wexler about it specifically, but I've known him for a very long time. He is a massive basketball fan. Like, that is his true passion when it comes to sports and more specifically Georgia sports. He loves Georgia football, obviously. But I think he wanted to make a real impact, and he said, hey, $10 million. I want it to go to basketball. Let's see what we can do to make a real push towards bringing Georgia to the top of, you know, basketball lore. So shout out to him, the largest single donation, I believe, in the history of Georgia athletics. So Adam Wexler, congratulations on all the good things you have done. But to make it specifically to Georgia basketball, I would have to think, and again, I have no idea, this is a pure assumption, I would have to think that that $10 million, with how he directed it directly towards Georgia basketball, he's going to have a lot of say as to who they're going to go after, who they want to keep, what that roster is going to look like. I'm just guessing. That's my opinion. But knowing him and how much he loves basketball, Jake, he's got a real keen eye for talent. I'm excited. That should be a lot of fun for Georgia fans moving towards football and then basketball season as well. So congrats, Wexler. That's awesome. Go Dogs. That is a phenomenal, phenomenal act of, I guess, service, giving, charitable,
generosity,
whatever you want to do, generosity for sure. So shout out to Adam Wexler, doing good for Georgia athletics by way of all his success in business. So
yeah,
really, no, really cool.
No, really cool, man. That's awesome. I would love for you to kind of see if you could follow up with him, you know, on
I'm trying to get him on here. I'm trying to get him on here. I want him to be a guest because I'd love to talk to him about, you know, just the trials and tribulations of Prize Picks, bringing it up to the success level that it's at now, the largest daily fantasy platform in the country, and of course, selling it and now kind of turning his attention. He's got a new company now called The Hidden Jams, which goes back to music, which is what his first startup was about as well. So Wexler's got a fascinating background. Again, a longtime partner and sponsor of Punt and Pass. So he's on the docket for who we're going to have. We got a long way till college football season, so some more guests will be coming up. But I've already sent some texts. He's moving and shaking, and he's going to carve out an hour for us here in the next month or so, which will be awesome.
That's what we do in media. We assume a lot of things. So what I heard you say, and I'm totally taking this way down the rabbit hole, but – what I heard you say was that basically you can buy your way into becoming a college GM. That's what I heard.
I don't know, but if I had $10 million to give, you better believe that there'd be a lot of strings attached to it. A lot of strings attached to it, right? So
yeah.
Congratulations to him and to Georgia and Coach Mike White. So that'll be fun to follow.
It's going to be fun to follow next year for real, and seeing what that return on your investment looks like and seeing if Georgia basketball, man, can get over the hump and make a real push in the college tournament.
Yeah, you brought up a name, Josh Brooks, the athletic director at Georgia. Josh obviously had to be very happy about that donation. He's going to have a very busy week this week, Jake, because all the athletic directors from the SEC, I think a couple of coaches, media members, sponsors, all of the SEC officials and executives are going to be down in Sandestin, Florida. It is SEC spring meetings. If you watch on SEC Network, Paul Feinbaum will be down there as well. And the number one talking point around the SEC spring meetings will be what? The expansion.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus, sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Expansion of the college football playoff. So as it stands now, Jake, Three out of the Power Four conferences have aligned, and they want to blow this thing up to 24 teams starting in 2027, so after this upcoming season. However, one conference, the SEC, led by Greg Sankey, has put their foot in the sand at this point and said, hold on a second, we're not there yet. We support a move to 16 teams. We're not so sure about 24. So they're going to be in Sandestin talking about this ad nauseum to figure out, why should they do it? Why shouldn't they do it? All of the trickle-down effects of doubling the size of the playoff. It's 12 right now. It's 12 this upcoming season, to 24 teams the year after that. I feel like fan sentiment is, don't do that. You're going to ruin the regular season of college football. Nothing is going to matter throughout August to January, and now we're just going to bring in middling teams that won't really have an impact. They won't have the opportunity to win a national championship, and we're going to be sitting there with 3 and 4 lost teams in the college football playoff, and things are going to have to be given up in concessions like conference championship games, when the season starts, scheduling. There is such a trickle-down effect from this massive, massive decision to be made. There was a fascinating article put on Yahoo Sports earlier this week. Pat Forty was one of the authors of it. It is a long read, but I would urge everybody to go read it because it breaks it down from a money perspective, from a fan perspective, from a schedule perspective. Jake, we could talk about this for weeks on end. I don't know how you feel about it, but I am hesitant to move to 24 teams at this point. I just don't know if that's the right move for college football. You're essentially trying to go to the NFL model without using any of the things that the NFL does to make it what I think the best league in the country. I think the NFL is the best league in the country, best league in the world. And college football is trying to emulate it, but they're missing so many key important things that don't get them to that level yet.
Yeah, first let's hit on the differences between college football and the NFL. Like, college football has their own distinct fans, their own distinct culture, and the NFL is different. It is probably more global and worldwide, and the NFL is, you know, actively trying to do that. You know, we talked about the game being in Australia and you know, and Brazil and all these other different countries. I am nervous for college football of trying to become too much like the NFL without certain things in place. And then also, man, don't lose your differentiator. Yeah. Your differentiator is the regular season, that it means so much, man. You get one loss in the regular season, man, it is do or die time, and you cannot lose another game. So there's pressure that comes with that. And it has all your fans tuning in and watching, especially on a week-to-week basis. So, you know, we can kind of get into the scheduling of everything. We got Greg Sankey here in a quote on an article saying he doesn't like the college football schedule moving up to week zero. He likes Labor Day as the start, which I totally understand. Man, is a great time to start for college football. That's part of the culture thing that I'm talking about here that makes college football college football. It's going to shoot dubs in the morning, and you're, you know, tuning in to your college football game in the afternoon. Like, to me, that, I don't know, that's the way I grew up, you know, in college football and hunting. And there's so many other things, like, hey, the Georgia Florida game, right, the week before is the bye week, and guess what? That's the opening weekend of deer season. You know, like, there's a lot of things that kind of go into the schedule that makes a lot of sense for a lot of their fans.
No, you're exactly right. I mean, one of the quotes in this article from Steinbrecher, who I believe is the commissioner of the American Athletic Conference. I'm trying to find his first and last name here, but he says it best. He says the football regular season is the most valuable college sports property there is. He's 100% right for all the reasons you just mentioned. That Georgia-Florida game. In this article, it's even mentioned, like, the November LSU-Alabama game. There's always so much riding on that game.
The implications of,
most likely, losers not going to the college football playoff, even when it was moved to 12 teams. And another thing, too, that was said in this article was that the added pressure from the top teams in college football, Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, Texas, Notre Dame. You know, it jumped up because if you did not make it to the playoff in a 12-team field, that was seen as a disaster of a season. Look at Alabama 2 years ago. They didn't make it. It was like, oh my gosh, this is the worst season ever. We should fire Kalen DeBoer. Now what happens when it goes to 24 teams? Would a team like Alabama or Ohio State or Texas ever be in consideration for missing the playoff because they're going to have so much leeway based on the conferences they play, based on the schedule that they play? I don't know. It's like already baked in. And then going back to that LSU-Alabama game in November, it's a moot point. I mean, over the weekend, I don't know what it was with my algorithm on social media, but I saw so many great, great highlights of college football games. The Georgia-Notre Dame game in 2017, the Alabama-LSU game in 2020 with all that talent on the field, or 2019, whenever it was. Like, you're seeing these games.
Yeah. 2019 was crazy.
Yeah, it takes you back, and you're like, dude, I remember watching that game being like, oh, 1 versus 2, Alabama versus LSU, back when it was a 14 playoff. Like, there was so much riding on that game. You were locked in front of your TV. You talked about it leading up to the game. You talked about it until the next week of action. Is that going to be lost? I think yes. And there's other people that say no, it's going to make college football regular season even better. I can't see that yet, Jake. I don't know.
I can't see that either. I mean, let me just tell you how important the college football regular season is, especially once you're hitting October, November. Going as an NFL football player, going and especially traveling on away games, man, everybody is tuned in to their device. And they're watching college football games the entire travel ride. Yes. Or when you get to the hotel and you have your meal and you're done with your meetings, man, there's everybody hanging out in that meal room because they'll have two TVs up and everybody is hanging around the TVs, sitting in tables and chairs, and they're hanging out, we're talking, we're watching the game because it means so much and you're watching it and there's just so much to talk about. But when the games become less important, are you going to still get that energy and that traction? I don't know, man. I don't think so. I'm okay with 16. I would be against 16 if Miami didn't happen to go on that run and win that they went on.
I think a lot of people are hanging on to that. I think a lot of people are hanging on to that.
Well, you know, man, if the number 11, 12, you know, team can win it, maybe we should open up to 16. But I think there is a quick law of diminishing returns that comes with that. And if we go to 24, I also think it becomes a logistical nightmare.
I think it does too.
Because if you go to 24, conference title games are done.
Gone.
And they're probably gone. They're probably already done in a sense, and kind of like you know, SEC baseball does, where they have a regular season champion and a tournament champion. I mean, it'll probably just be a regular season champion. Hey, kudos, congrats. Probably what doesn't mean as much, in my opinion. And you get on to the tournament because how many more games can these guys play and you fit in a realistic schedule?
And here's why the Big Ten, the Big 12, the ACC want to move to 24 teams. Big Ten Commissioner Tony Petitti says, hey, the late season matchup between Iowa versus Minnesota jockeying for a playoff spot 20-24, that's going to bring more intrigue to the regular season. I go, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I love college football. You know how much I love college football. I don't know if Iowa versus Minnesota in November is really going to drive ratings to see who gets the 22nd seed into the college football playoff. They want those teams, those 3- and 4-loss teams perennially, to have the hope to get into a college football playoff. There is one blurb in this article, though, that I found really interesting. If you were to look at since 2014, when the college football playoff started, of course, with just 4 teams, if you took the 2014 model and then worked your way backwards to 2014, here is who would have gotten into the college football playoff, okay? Oklahoma State would have had 6 playoff appearances since 2014 in a 2014 playoff. North Carolina State, 5 playoff appearances. Mississippi State, 4 playoff appearances. Wisconsin, four playoff appearances. If you go back and used a 24-team college football playoff going back to the year 2014 when the college football playoff started. Now, do I think Oklahoma State, Mississippi State, North Carolina State, or Wisconsin could have won a national championship in either of those years? I have no idea. But again, you're widening the net. You're bringing more people to the party, but things are going to have to be given up. Conference championship games, gone. You're absolutely moving the season up. Teams, I think, ranked 9 through 24 would play that first weekend on campus games, and then the top 8 teams would have a bye, Jake. So the second round, you would have on-campus games hosted by the top 8 teams. So Georgia,
Texas. Sorry, where's the first round happening again?
9 through 24, and okay. Those would be home campus games for the top-seeded teams, right?
Gotcha.
And then the second week, you play into the top 8 teams, who, of course, would be hosting it on campus yet again. And then after that, you move into the more traditional kind of bowl setups, your New Year's Six bowls in your college football playoff bowl game. So I don't know. There's a lot of money to be made. I think Clay Travis came out and he said this would broaden the net of broadcast partners. So now not only ESPN would have the rights to it, but Fox, CBS would get playoff games. That obviously would help the fans as well. But it is a sticky, sticky situation. I don't see Greg Sankey and the SEC saying, yeah, let's do it in 2027. Let's just blow this thing up and go to 24 teams. I don't know, Jake. It's a slippery slope. College football continues to kind of spin out of control. But so if the money's there, if the money makes sense, I guarantee you they decide to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to the dollar. If can you put the cat back in the bag if you go to 24? Will you ever go back to less?
No, you would only go more. Expansion only leads to more expansion. It's like one of the truest things in the history of anything. Expansion leads to more expansion. Look at the March Madness. It was 64 teams. Then it went to 68 teams. Now it's, 76 teams. They already voted for it. You got more teams coming in next year. Expansion only leads to more expansion. What hasn't the NFL done? Yes, they added the wild card game, right? Super wild card weekend. They let just the top seed have the bye week, and then everybody had to play into that. But I don't know. I don't see it happening. The schedule is the biggest thing too. Like, they've got to get the schedule figured out before they make any moves whatsoever. I will give, I'm a harsh critic of Greg Sankey, but I will give him a lot of credit because he's saying, I need to see all the details. I need all of the information to assess if this is what's right, not only for our stakeholders in the SEC, but for the game of college football.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it comes down to a scheduling logistics thing. Does it make sense? We talk about the recruiting, the transfer portal window. When is that happening? Is that going to happen in the middle of these playoffs? Well, I mean, that sucks for everybody who's playing and who's coaching. You know, do you have players who bow out of the playoff? You know, because, hey, I'm transferring. This isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, Oregon almost found themselves in a mess. Kind of with the running back situation last year in the playoff. Like, I don't, that's not good. That's not good for college football in the sport for me, in my opinion. So I don't like seeing that. However, I do like more home playoff games. I am an advocate of that. I think because that is college football. To me, that makes it fun. The more on site college football playoff games we can have, to me, the better. When you start like Georgia and Clemson, they're talking about this home and home series.
I know.
And, you know, going to
put Charlotte, Nashville, Tampa. Well, I mean, what are we doing?
What are we doing? It's a home and home. And let's
the make two it teams are, what are they, 80 miles apart? Maybe even
not
less?
Even. I mean, they're right there. They're across the lake. I mean, so close. There's no reason, there's no need for that, man. Make it a home and home and let's go. Let's ride.
Here's the biggest thing that I think, and I'm scrolling through this article right now, but they cited just how popular
the new Nashville stadium is going to be. Awesome, though.
That is going to be awesome. They just got the Super Bowl bid as well. I don't know if it's been officially announced. I think it was officially announced in 2030. The Super Bowl will be in Nashville, Tennessee at that new stadium, which will be awesome. But I think here, when you talk about money, a reason why the SEC will be hesitant to just jump right into a 2014 playoff is because it will be an assumption that the conference championship games are gone. And the SEC championship game for the SEC specifically is a huge breadwinner. I mean, you and I live in Atlanta and adjacent to Atlanta. You understand, you played in it a lot. I played it in as well. We cover it now. Just how important that weekend is for the Southeastern Conference. It is a gathering of corporate media partners. It is a gathering of athletic directors, executives, SEC legends, the fan bases who make it. The SEC fanfare is there. The TV ratings, it dwarfs. The SEC championship dwarfs the first round of the college football playoffs even. I mean, it is a big time moneymaker for the SEC, for their network partner who now is ESPN and ABC. So when Greg Sankey sees that and he's like, oh, I'm not going to have the opportunity to charge my corporate partners big money to come in and support our conference and get our fans to spend money in Atlanta, a city that means so much to the SEC, like, he is going to be like, hold on a second. We can't just let that go, because since 1992, the SEC has played their conference championship game. And I've said it time and again, it's one of my favorite weekends as a resident of Atlanta. And obviously, that's been better now as of late because Georgia's played in it so often. But it's a fun weekend. It's a celebration of college football. And it kind of gets the juices flowing as you get towards the postseason. I like the SEC championship game. You know, I'm not going to let my personal bias towards it say that's the reason why we shouldn't expand. But I just think 16 is better than 24 at the moment. Let's crawl. Let's walk. Let's run. Let's not just sprint to 24, because when you're talking about 8-4 teams playing in the college football playoff, I mean, come on, man. Come on, man. No chance.
I'm with you. And I think something, too, that nobody thinks about, well, I'm sure the top execs think about it, but if you go to 16, there's always the talking point for, you know, the opportunity for clicks and for people to talk about the expansion to 24. But once you expand to 24, yes, I mean, exactly.
you can always go bigger. You can always go bigger. You cannot necessarily go smaller after you go bigger.
It's going to be, all right, we're going to keep it at 24 for a good while, probably ever. But if you go to 16, man, the door is kind of open, you know, to quote unquote make it better. Give, you know, a topic for guys like us to talk about and chat about and dream about the what if, you know, scenarios. But man, I'm a 16 advocate, coach.
All right. That's me too. I'd love to hear what some of our listeners think as well. Do you think we should go straight to 24? Should we keep it at 12? You know, I mean, I'm looking now and I'm like, the BCS wasn't too bad. I mean, where are we going? 24 teams in the college football playoff. I don't know, Jake. I don't know. So that's going to be a heavy talking point all week long at the SEC spring meetings, which are down in Sandestin, a great area right there by Miramar Beach. So I've been there, and I know where they'll be. And Josh Brooks, come on, man. Stick up for what's right. Stick up for what's right.
All right. I got something for you here. Okay. Take the NFL model. Okay. Would you say more times than not, the best team in the league wins the Super Bowl?
I feel like that's a little bit of a loaded question. The best team. I feel like rarely do you ever look at a Super Bowl champion and say they should not have won the Super Bowl. You know what I mean? Because they catch fire, whether they, you know, played really well.
All right. The prime example was Eli Manning's New York Giants.
Sure. But look, they beat the number one team.
10-6 and beat the Patriots, who are undefeated.
I'm hard pressed to tell you that the New York Giants did not deserve to win the Super Bowl that year, because the Pats were going for the perfect season, 18-0, one of the best teams ever, and they couldn't get it done. That's sports, right? Like, I feel like when you go back to the baseball conversation, the Braves, knock on wood, will be in that position this year. They're going to have the bye week. There's no reseeding afterwards. They're probably going to play a team that's really hot in the wild card round, after the wild card round, and then they're going to have to put up a fight in the divisional series. But postseason is tough. Miami showed it again. Everybody's going to hang on to that Miami example, and they're going to quickly say, well, Notre Dame lost to Miami in the last second. Why weren't they in? I get that, but look, the regular season in Major League Baseball largely doesn't matter. The regular season in the NFL largely does matter when you look at who you played in your division, how you did down the stretch. You and I were in NFL locker rooms. Everybody will tell you it doesn't matter until Thanksgiving comes around, but you have to play yourself into position to at least have those games matter once you get to Thanksgiving. So, no, to answer your question, no, I've never said that team should not have won the Super Bowl because the NFL has it so dialed in. So we'll see what happens in college football. It's going to be a fun, fun week, keeping tabs on all those storylines. It's been a fun week here, wrapping up Memorial Day weekend, taking a look at what's to come in the world of sports, college sports. Again, congrats to Georgia baseball. And we'll see what happens with the college football playoffs. So thanks so much for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on social media. We're at Punt and Pass on X and Instagram. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow us at Drew Butler, at From Jake. Watch us on Atlanta News First and Peachtree Sports Network. Always so much fun being with you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everybody. Hope you enjoyed Memorial Day. And we will talk to you next Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. See ya.
Yeah.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.